Hello and welcome to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. I am your host, Nesson's Lauren Campbell. Let's break down this Hunter Renfroe, Jackie Bradley Jr. trade and talk about the prospects that the Red Sox got in return from the Brewers. And I also have an exciting announcement at the end of the show. So let's just get right to it.
Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hey, happy Friday. Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. So, early Thursday, late Wednesday night, the Red Sox pretty much stunned everybody and completed a trade that sent Hunter Renfroe to the Milwaukee Brewers for Jackie Bradley Jr. Now, it's not often that a trade catches people off guard that the Red Sox make. Even trading Mookie Betts, fans knew it was coming. It was just a matter of when and where and who were the Red Sox getting in return. But just minutes before the MLB locked out its players, they did just that. They traded Hunter Renfroe. They got Jackie Bradley Jr. in return. A trade, it really was completely out of nowhere. And it was a big surprise given how well Hunter Renfroe performed in the outfield. Despite leading the league in errors, he still won a gold glove. He had a slew of outfield assists. He was a lot of fun out there. But more so, his offense, too. Jackie Bradley Jr. could not even hit 200 last season with the Brewers. But what got lost in this trade was that the Red Sox also acquired two prospects from the Brewers, two highly rated prospects, two top 20 prospects. So Alex Benelis, he's 21. He was a third-round pick in June out of Louisville. He's a left-handed hitter. He signed for $700,000. And his OPS was 973 in 36 minor league games. And I had a friend who actually played against him while Benelis was at Louisville. And he said, quote unquote, he will be sick. And went into detail about this opposite field home run. He said it had to have been 450 feet. So I think there's a lot of power there. However, he does need some work when it comes to his defense. He's naturally a corner infielder. He could play the outfield. There's a logjam there in the outfield. And the Red Sox seem pretty set for their corner positions for a long time, for a good amount of their future at least. But I'd say that Benelis's power is probably what drew the Red Sox to him. And then there's David Hamilton. He's 24. He was an eighth round pick in 2019 from the University of Texas. He is a shortstop. He got to AA last season. His OPS was 916, and he played in 14 Arizona Fall League games. He did rupture his Achilles in 2019. However, he made a full recovery. There doesn't seem to be any setbacks from that 3 years later. So that's obviously a good sign. There's probably nothing to worry about there. So the prospects here, I think, is what really makes this deal. I think that bringing back Jackie Bradley Jr., they felt very indifferent. I think fans really liked JBJ as a person, but as a player, fans know exactly what kind of player he is. He's a little streaky at the plate, but he makes highlight reel catch after highlight reel catch in the outfield. And people were wondering about the contracts and what Hunter Renfroe and JBJ are owed. So Bradley is due $9.5 million in 2022 with an $8 million buyout option for 2023, or a $12 million mutual option. Renfroe does not have an actual contract value yet, but it is projected around $7.6 million for 2022. Now, because MLB has locked out its players, Hunter Renfroe knows he has a team for the 2022 season. He just doesn't know what he's going to make. Contract talks cannot happen right now. Signings and trades cannot happen. So he has to wait a little longer to get his contract value. However, at least he knows he's got a team for next season, which people like Carlos Correa don't know where he's going to play in 2022. That's obviously going to change as soon as this lockout. Renfroe did lead MLB in errors despite leading in outfield assists, and Bradley had 12 defensive runs saved last season, but he only started 99 games. Otherwise, he was kind of a bust for Milwaukee, unfortunately. He just really could not find a groove. He hit 163. His OPS was 497. And it was just a really ugly season for Bradley all around. So I think that's what people, when they saw this trade and they saw JBJ, and they were like, why somebody who can't hit 200 when this offense, it needs to be bolstered as well. You're bringing in somebody who couldn't even hit 200 last year. But how I see it as this trade really was about the prospects. And also, when Kike Hernandez did not play in center field last year, the Red Sox were just a downright ugly team in the outfield. JBJ will provide that stability. However, he will need to earn his time. I don't think he's going to come into spring training thinking he's a lock for center field. I think for me personally, I think he'll be a fourth outfielder. As I mentioned in Thursday's episode, this could open the door for the Red Sox to re-sign Kyle Schwarber. After all is said and done, I don't think the Red Sox are done here. Obviously, for the time being, while MLB and MLBPA try to come to terms on a new CBA and get this offseason rolling again, I don't think this is where the Red Sox stop. I think once this lockout ends, there may be a trade or a signing to really bolster this team and bring them to the next level. Now, their corner outfield, or their corner positions, first base and third base and left field, that group includes Benellis, Tristan Casas, Blaze Jordan, and Bobby Dalbec, who's already here in the majors. So it's unlikely all of these players here, including Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, it's unlikely all of those players stay with Boston. So some of them could be trade chips for a move that's going to come. So I think it's going to be very interesting what the Red Sox will do. Like I said, this trade really came out of left field, no pun intended, but just for them to complete this kind of trade minutes before the players were locked out, for me, that means they're still thinking for the future. They're still sitting here thinking like, we're not done, but we need to get this move done in order to set us up better, not just for 2022, but for 2023 and beyond. So I'm very, very intrigued by these prospects. I think it's great that one of my friends played against Benellis and was able to offer kind of like a mini scouting report to me. I can't read it all. It was a little not safe for work. Just that's how good he was. And he was like, this guy can just hit bombs. He's got power, which is pretty much what a lot of these scouts are saying about him. It's just the defense that needs some tweaking and tightening. He could be a very, very valuable player to this team, or he could end up being a trade chip. So I'm very interested to see the fallout from this trade. Like I said, I don't think JBJ is coming in here being the full-time center fielder. I think he's really going to have to earn his time. I think he knows that too, especially after a 2021 that saw him hit so horribly. And he's never been a big power hitter, but he's also never been this bad. And this could be a new low for JBJ. So now he needs to prove himself and at least be a part-time player for the Red Sox and a valuable one at that. He's going to have to do a lot. I think a lot of fans are very iffy, don't really trust what he can bring. And I know he's going to put in the work. There's no doubt that he always puts in a lot of work, but Red Sox fans are very familiar with what exactly he brings to a team. So hopefully we see like 2018 JBJ, postseason JBJ. That's obviously the best case scenario right there, but I'm not sitting here putting all my eggs in a basket, but I am excited for these prospects. This also, when you think about it, this could allow Kike Hernandez to play more at second base. And even though the Red Sox were not good when he wasn't in center field, if you can put Kike at second, JBJ in the outfield for a game or two, while also potentially having Schwarber back on this team, you have a lot of good options. So he definitely provides stability and provides the Red Sox to be a little more flexible. Coming up in our second segment of the Locked On Red Sox podcast, we'll talk about the Red Sox players who have departed, the ones who have come on, and maybe kind of what the Red Sox do from here. But first, I want to tell you about Built Bar. It's officially the holiday season, so grab that protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar, honestly. Built Bar is filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, fat, and high in protein. Honestly, you get the best of both worlds with it being delicious and healthy. There's so many flavors you'll have a hard time choosing. There's raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, my personal favorite, cookies and cream. It's so good. I actually had one for breakfast because I was just kind of on the go this morning. And it's great because it gave me that extra fuel, just what I need. And I'm going to certainly need one Sunday because I'm going Christmas shopping. I'm not going to be a last minute shopper this season. So Built Bar will give me that extra fuel to bust down those mall doors and battle all of the other holiday shoppers. And because it's the season of peace and love, don't bring up your favorite Built Bar at your family parties. People are so passionate about their favorite flavors, they'll fight about it and tell you you're wrong and tell you why their favorite flavor is better than your favorite flavor. But what's a family gathering without a little arguing, right? And are you friends with Santa? Well, tell him to throw a few Built Bars in those stockings. With so many flavors, they'll make anyone's Christmas morning a happy one. And here's my favorite holiday secret. Dip your Built Bar into a piping hot cup of hot chocolate. Let it melt a little. Give your beverage a bit of that Built Bar flavor. It is so good. I did this last night. Oh, it is delicious. Plus, you'll have a nice melty Built Bar to go with it. But be sure to have a few napkins on hand. It could get messy. Well, you need to get your hands on the Built Bar Puffs. They're light, they're fluffy, they're marshmallowy. Through and through, there's different flavors all covered in chocolate. They taste so good, you will not believe they're filled with protein. And we have an offer for you. Go to built.com, type in promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. So the Red Sox look a little different this year. There's been some departures. There's been some newcomers. So I just wanted to kind of give a quick synopsis, so to say, about who has left. Obviously, Eduardo Rodriguez was one of the bigger names who left alongside Hunter Renfroe. The Red Sox have added Michael Wacha, James Paxton, Rich Hill, Jackie Bradley Jr., and there's still a few players who may or may not come back from the 2021 team, and that's Kyle Schwarber, Jose Iglesias, and Adam Ottavino. Now, Chaim Bloom did tell reporters shortly after the Hunter Renfroe JBJ trade that they still want to add more pitching. He said that there are some guys who could fill multiple roles, probably like Tanner Houck or Garrett Whitlock, but they've yet to address the relievers in meaningful fashion, and they're going to continue to look at doing that. So they've locked up Brian Brazier for another year. He really doesn't move the needle for this team, really. Rich Hill, who's 41 or 42 years old, he's coming back to the Red Sox for the seventh time in his career. He's probably the best option right now to replace Erod in the rotation. So that will give you four starters. Michael Wacha, his 5 ERA and his late season adjustments last year were interesting, you could say. This could be more of like a Matt Andrees signing and kind of the role that Matt Andrees played for the Red Sox last year. Maybe Michael Wacha plays something similar to that this season. And maybe he does become the number 5 pitcher. I don't know. This obviously depends on spring training and what these guys really show, especially if it's a condensed spring training. There's so much up in the air right now with this lockout. So there's definitely still moves to be made with the Red Sox, especially in the relief pitching department. But also you think of the starters too, like Sean Manaea, Chris Bassitt. You have to at least make a call on them. Sorry, Jason from Locked On A's. I know we've talked about trading for Sean Manaea. You and I could not come up with a deal, but maybe Chaim Bloom and the rest of the A's could. So there's definitely guys out there that are worth taking a look at. But it's the relievers here that Chaim Bloom really highlighted, fans have really highlighted, and they're like, we need help in the bullpen. We have needed help in the bullpen. Whitlock, of course, dominated out of the bullpen last year, and it was just a really awesome story all around, being the Rule 5 draft pick, coming from the Yankees, never reaching higher than the AA level, and just completely looking like a veteran pitcher on the mound most times. But maybe his presence will be better valued as a starter. He naturally is a starter, so it might be worth just taking a look there. But again, if you do put him as a starter, you need someone out of that bullpen. So once this lockout ends, I think the Red Sox and Chaim Bloom will be very antsy to get a relief pitcher in this rotation, in this bullpen, and just kind of get the ball rolling with that. But there's also the infield that has a lot of questions. The corner infield, no problem. You have Bobby Dalbec at first, Rafael Devers at third. You have Xander Bogaerts at short. and then there's second base. And yes, Kike Hernandez can play second. Christian Arroyo probably could play second, and he's got more than adequate defense. But maybe the Red Sox should, or maybe they want to prioritize keeping Kike in center field because he was just so dominant there last year. So maybe it'd be worth looking at bringing back Jose Iglesias and having him kind of platoon in that position. He did all really well for the Red Sox last year in the month and a half that he played. He really brought the good energy. He's familiar with this team, having played here prior to last year. So he certainly would be a good fit. Again, this is all just kind of what if and potential moves they could do. They obviously cannot talk to players right now and sign deals and get trades done. But that doesn't mean that they're not working behind the scenes, trying to figure out what they can do once this lockout ends, where they can go, where they can improve. There's still a lot of stuff to be done here, and a lockout certainly is hindering that. But I think the Red Sox really do want to be competitive for 2022, especially after being two games away from the World Series with a team that wasn't even supposed to win 70 games. Coming up in our third and final segment of the Locked On Red Sox podcast, I'm going to end this show on a positive note, as I always do, but this time it comes with a very exciting announcement. But first, I do need to tell you about BetOnline, because BetOnline has you covered all season, which means more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 50% welcome bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. So as I always do in the final segment, I will end this show on a positive note. And this is a bit of an announcement here. So you probably realize that the Boston Herald's Jason Mastrodonato has not been on the show for a long time. He decided to leave the show about a month ago. We wish him well. There's no hard feelings there. I'm very excited for what the future holds for him. I support him 100%. I'm obviously bummed because we loved bouncing ideas off of each other. We loved kind of bickering and bantering. So he has left the show. However, with departures come newcomers, as we learned in the second segment of Locked On Red Sox here. So I am so excited to announce that Jake Iggy will be my new co-host starting next week. So I'm so excited to get a co-host in here. He's super passionate about the Red Sox. He's super knowledgeable. He's also a very, very big mental health advocate. So it's going to be great to have that element to our show. I'm so excited for him to bring the energy, and I'm so excited for you to get to know him. I'm excited for him to get to know you, and it's going to be great. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time during this lockout, so I'm super excited for him to start. Please give him a follow on Twitter. He's great, and let's end the show there. So thank you for hanging out with me on this Friday morning, this very early Friday morning. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at lalalalauren, three lods, Lauren with four R's, and Jake Iggy on Twitter at Jake Iggy. Also find us on the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at LO_Red Sox. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox. When you subscribe, you never miss whenever we drop a show. Also follow all of my work right on Nesson.com. Be sure to check out all the other amazing shows across the Locked On Network, Locked On MLB, Locked On A's, Locked On Yankees. Everyone does an incredible job here bringing you such amazing baseball content. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen of today, head on over to Locked On Bets to make it your second listen for today. Locked On Bets is your one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. It's hosted by your boy Q with expert insight and analysis from Lee Sterling. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend. Me and Jake will see you Monday.